You're listening to ListCast. If you'd like to reach us, you can email us at listcast5@gmail.com, or you can alternatively reach us at our website, post comments, or give suggestions for top five lists at listcast.podomatic.com. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the next episode of ListCast.
Episode number two.
This episode is hidden gems. Top five hidden gems.
Movies that have slipped through the cracks.
Something like that.
Okay, I'm going first. My number five is going to be a movie called By Dawn's Early Light.
Alright.
Now, this movie came out in 1990, I believe. It was made for TV. Made for HBO. It's a Cold War movie. It came at the very tail end of the Cold War. I think it was just about when the Berlin Wall fell. And it's kind of a disaster flick, I guess you could say.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah, I mean, it follows...
It's kind of like a thinking man's Independence Day.
Now, this movie is still cool to me today. I own the DVD. Thank God they had this movie out on DVD. They didn't let it fall into oblivion. But it's basically, a nuclear war film, you know.
A what-if scenario,
a nuclear war film. Like, the two superpowers, Russia and the U.S., there's an accidental nuclear detonation in Russia, and it sets off the automatic defense system of the Russians, you know, and their nukes start to go off, and there's a moment where the president has to decide what to do. Should he launch a full strike? Should he let it go? Should he give a counterattack similar to what the Russians have done? And that's what he inevitably decides to do.
Sir, you have less than 2 minutes before Andrews is hit. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
General, I want a response designed as closely as possible to the Soviet attack. And under no circumstances are their losses to exceed ours. Do you understand?
Sir, we believe the Soviet president is out of position and their military are running things now.
You are being conned on a level unprecedented in human history.
General, I will hear no more of this. Now you instruct the computer. At the appropriate time, I will activate the codes through the proper civilian authorities as the law stipulates.
The tension mounts after that, and there's a second launch from the Soviets, and then the president decides to, okay, I'm going to launch again, and it turns out this launch was directed at the Chinese, and blah, blah, blah. But the movie follows three sets of characters in three areas.
Three plot threads.
Three, or is it four plot threads? It's the bomber crew of a B-20...
Right, just a bomber crew.
Whatever. And which is Rebecca De Mornay, Powers Booth, and I forget the other actors' names. Who's the president? What's his name?
Martin Landau.
Martin Landau is the president. His plot thread, and then James Earl Jones, who's on board the Looking Glass plane. And then the presidential successor, which is the E-4. Following all their plot threads, and it's basically just—it's
a stellar cast.
It was very, very well cast.
It's
very well
who
played
were
out.
Not number ones, but probably number threes.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It was a full cast of supporting actors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this movie. Yeah, even though it may seem a bit antiquated today and not very timely because it was a Cold War film for a made-for-TV movie. Back in that day, made-for-TV movies today can look very good. Mm-hmm. But back then, made-for-TV movies were crap, you know? Yeah. This movie had great production values.
It did feel like a movie.
And it was very well written, very well acted, too. And almost works as a stage play, you know? This movie is...
I'm gonna have to borrow that.
Stage play or a radio drama.
Right.
It is very well telegraphed in that sense. But yeah, if you haven't seen it, pick it up. Excellent film. That's my number five. So on to you. What do you got for your
number
five? All right.
Well, my number five is nowhere near as dramatic as that. Geeks and fanboys will certainly be familiar with this movie. Free Enterprise.
Faggot. That was my number one, you fucking asshole.
Sorry, dude.
Shit.
Free Enterprise is my number five, not because it's my fifth, favorite. It's no particular order.
I can't believe you put that at number five. What the hell?
I told you no particular. All right, I saved number one for a reason, and hopefully you'll get
but
that
too.
But
that's so not a number five. That should be...
Whatever, dude. All right. It's a hidden gem. It is Free Enterprise. It is it is a geek movie. It's about Trek fans, Star Wars fans, people that know those things that no one else does.
First heading, captain's discretion.
TRU first.
Gentlemen?
Acceptable.
Yeah, okay, but don't let me spend too much money there, because I gotta get that remastered It's a Wonderful Life. And the Aliens box set that I keep putting off buying? God, I wish they had one for the third one. I love that movie.
Dude, you're the only one. I hear there's a remastered THX of Rosemary's Baby.
You lie! On SETI Alpha 5, there was life, a fair chance.
No, he's right. I read it on the Evolution website. I love that movie. Rosemary Woodhouse raped by the devil. She had it coming after what the bitch put Woody through.
Dude, how can you even say that, knowing that Annie Hall beat Star Wars for Best Picture in 1977?
Do not knock Annie Hall.
Almost there.
Stay on target. Are we doing lunch first or after?
After.
Okay. It was just a question. No need to get hostile.
I don't think you have to be a Trek fan to like this movie.
No, you don't. But frankly, I don't really see the point in explaining, because anyone who'd bother to listen to this podcast has probably seen it.
Yeah, it's basically two Trek nerds who meet William Shatner, and they find out he's kind of a kook. But the movie's not really about
that.
No,
not really. It's a lot more than that. It does go into the lives of these guys and try it. Bottom line, it tries to show Trek fans and people who have this extensive knowledge of movies and TV shows and comic books as being cool people, not overly cool, you know, not like Tom Cruise, you know, Maverick cool, but just cool, you know, people who can get chicks. Some can't, you know, some of their friends cannot. No, genuine nerds, yeah. But you know, in their cliques, there's kind of the cool guys and the not so cool guys, but they're all still friends, you know. And it shows the variety of geeks, you know. Yeah. It's just a great movie. And it is not, like you said, it's not just for Trek fans, because it's a genuinely good and funny movie.
Yeah.
And Shatner is fucking great.
Shatner is great in it.
He does a parody of himself that it should have been awarded at some point. But anyway, I'll let you talk about that a little more when we get to your number one. Sorry for that. So anyway, what's your number four?
My number four makes this list because I probably would have forgotten about this, but I just watched it the other day. Hadn't seen it in a long time. Support Your Local Sheriff.
All right.
Now, I put this on. I thought I would just watch it kind of passively because I had seen it so many times when I was a kid.
Sure.
And I thought I'd watch it passively, you know, because I knew the movie so well, but I watched it and I really got into it. Now, if you don't know this movie, it came out somewhere in the mid-70s, I think. It stars James Garner, a handful of other actors.
Who you know their faces, but yeah, not know their names.
Exactly. It's kind of, it's a comedy. It's a Western comedy. Almost a spoof in a way of Westerns.
Almost, but not quite.
Almost a spoof, but not quite.
It's just very self-aware.
Yeah. Garner plays his character named Jason McCullough, who rides into this mining town where there's just been a gold strike. And like he says several times, he's like, I'm just on my way to Australia, you know, which is true, you know.
How did he become sheriff in that? Because it was a fluke.
What happened was there was rising prices in town. He's like, I'm going to run out of money. I need to get a job. So he walks into this room. It's just where the city councilmen are and where there's jobs listed. And he says, oh, sheriff, is that still open? He's like, you're interested? And the reason they take him in so easily is because all their other sheriffs quit because they're cowards.
Quit or get killed.
Yeah. But exactly. And Gardner gets the job. And he's just the ultimate cool guy. You know, he knows how to handle every situation to the letter, you know.
I believe you get one of my children in your jail here.
How dare you walk into my office and pull a gun on me?
Get your finger out of the end of my gun.
How dare you pull a gun on me?
I said take your finger out of the end of my gun.
Well, until I do, you better take your finger off that trigger and let the hammer down real slow.
That gun had gone off and it had blown right up in the face.
Now, it wouldn't have done my finger a hell of a lot of good either, would it?
Excellent movie. So many great scenes. Mm-hmm. You know, he... just to break down the plot a little bit more, he gets a deputy who's the town, you know, drunk or nincompoop or whatever, mm-hmm. ends up being his deputy, and he ends up having to go up against the Danbys, who are this kind of... the bad family, sure. who kind of run the town, you know.
The local gang.
Right. And, you know, there's a climax in the end where he does go up against them. But as a Western, I'm not a Western fan, but I really dig that movie.
It is still a good holds movie. Up. It I grew up on it too, and I, you know, I can play that movie in my head, and I agree. Not only does it hold up, but I would dare say it is something of a hidden gem because, you know, as history has shown, I think it was way ahead of its time.
Yeah, because when people think Westerns, they think, what's his name?
Unforgiven and...
No, further back. John Wayne. You right, know, they think right, John Wayne. Right, you sure. know, this wasn't anything like that.
No, this was not. It was almost a parody, but not.
Yeah, it's not like Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, it's
like
not
that.
It's not space... Yeah, it's exactly. Very good choice, very good choice. Okay, my number four is a movie you turned me on to, actually, called The Baxter.
I turned you on to this?
Yeah, you did. You also turned me on to the other thing that these guys did, which was Wet Hot American Summer, which I should have put on.
Oh, yeah. I should have, too.
which is a whole nother story, because it's so good. The Baxter, just... I could describe it without really doing it justice, but really, it's a dramedy. It's a comedy and a drama. It follows the
that
story.
That is an underrated film.
Oh, yeah. It follows the story of this guy who...
well, let's explain what a Baxter is.
Okay, I'm totally paraphrasing it because the character in this movie explains, I think through a voiceover,
yeah.
that his grandmother referred to a Baxter as someone who, help me out, dot, 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 who was kind of a homebody, would never really get the girl, who was always the friend,
yeah.
that sort of a thing. You know, it wasn't necessarily an insult,
yeah.
but...
The guy who's left at the altar.
The guy behind when the guy. The guy left at the altar.
When, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, this guy ends up getting with a girl who's kind of beyond his station, I guess you want to say. She seems like a fine person, and he is, of course, a really great, sweet, quiet guy. They're just obviously not matched. And
before you say anything else, I'd just like to mention that I am also reading the dictionary. Sorry.
If you don't mind me asking, what's the dictionary for?
You won't believe this, but it's actually what I'm reading at the moment. I know it.
Wait, before you say anything else, I need you to know that I am also reading the dictionary.
Really?
Yes. What letter are you up to?
Right now I'm working my way through G.
Oh, G. G is a classic.
You know, I particularly liked the word Gromwell, a type of plant bearing yellowish flowers and
white stony
necklace.
I love that word.
Actually, I've been looking for a real Gromwell all over the city, but I can't seem to find one. So far, it's just a lot of concrete. Though I haven't yet been to Chinatown.
So we both read the dictionary. It's a truly bizarre coincidence.
Providential.
Fortuitous.
Happenstantial.
Felicitous.
Another big word.
And of course, he meets Michelle Williams.
Yeah.
Who is
cute as hell in this movie.
Oh my God.
I don't really.
They kind of play her up as a nerd.
Yeah.
But she is the fucking hottest nerd I have ever
seen.
Well,
she's got the adorable factor.
She's got that adorable factor. And she. Well, you could say she's been made up to look prettier in other movies, but I've never seen her look hotter than in this movie. And she's not supposed to look hot. She's supposed to look down to earth and girl next door, but damn, does she pull it off. And not just in her looks, but in her persona, in her delivery, you instantly fall in love with this girl. And you're just waiting for him to as well. And it's almost like when Harry met Sally, you know, they, you know that they're going to end up together, but mm-hmm. it's not quite their time yet. So you have to go through 90 minutes of the movie for them to ultimately do it. I'm not really spoiling anything by saying they will. You know they'll get together. Mm-hmm. It's just a great, well-acted, smartly written movie that's, I don't want to say it's a character study, but it's just it's a very enjoyable dramedy, in my opinion. Check it out. Called The Baxter. Michael Showalter.
Showalter.
He's getting around. He's got kind of his core people that he works with, yeah. And a number of them make their appearance in this movie. But it's got performances by a lot of supporting actors. Mm-hmm. And this is another one of those movies that is cast full of supporting actors, which really makes it highly rewatchable. So anyway, that's my number four. What's your number three?
My number three is Eulogy.
All right. Okay.
Another
one you turned me on.
I turned you on to that. Eulogy is with Zoe Deschanel, Hank Azaria.
Hank Azaria.
Ray Romano, Famke Janssen. Great ensemble cast. Mm. Now, Eulogy is one of those movies that I found, you know, perusing through like one of those DVD bargain bins, you know, where it's like DVDs, $5 or less. And I saw Eulogy just sitting there. I'd never heard of it before. Obviously it slipped through the cracks, on that regard alone. Picked it up basically on the basis of the cover and reading the back. And I was like, oh, I'll give this a watch, you know,
and
how bad
cast,
could it be?
Probably.
Yeah, how bad could it be, you know? Thoroughly enjoyed it as an ensemble comedy. You know, it's basically this dysfunctional family has to get together after the father, who is an absentee father, has passed away. They have to get together and have all their resolutions. You know, all the characters have their foibles, and you know, they have to have the resolutions by the end of the film.
Guys, come on. We got this funeral.
Grandpa's not going anywhere.
Get in the car.
Get the bowl onto the table without spilling.
Oh. This is why your mother left us.
She was a hack. I've seen better moms on TV.
I know.
I don't even know why we're going. I mean, he was your dad.
Maybe he left you something.
Probably left it all to wifey. Nana.
I know.
Basically, that's all I have to say about it.
It's kind of a lot of these movies defy.
It's a dark comedy.
Yeah,
basically, definitely a hidden gem. I bet nobody has heard of this movie. Yeah. Why it didn't get a wider release or some kind of notice or
As you were talking, I was thinking about why didn't it get the acclaim that it should have, and I think that's probably because it's not a movie that works as a trailer, and it has no single bankable star to base it on. You know, Ray Romano wasn't really Ray Romano.
Neither
quite
was
yet.
Zoe Deschanel.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So you couldn't hang it on any one of these people. And, you know, again, it's not a movie. It's not a summer movie. It's not a movie that cuts into a really great trailer. A lot of the moments in the movie are kind of sly and they play with you a little. They're not someone tripping over a couch kind of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So it defies mass appeal in a quick, let's show it to you in a quick way sense, you know.
Yeah,
hard to market.
I can see what you mean by
hard
that.
Hard to market a movie like that.
All right, so we on to your number three?
Okay, my number three. I believe that this is a hidden
Colonel
gem.
Colonel Mustard did it with the candlestick.
I don't think many people know this movie. I know we experienced it on heavy rotation, so I'm sure many other people have seen it.
You're not going to do this, are you?
But I don't think that this is a movie that is known by a great many people, and certainly not admired.
If it is what I think it is, then nobody knows this.
I don't think you know what I'm talking about. Real Men.
Okay, it was either Real Men or The Experts. And I hope I'm not burning up your list by saying that.
No, The Experts is not on my
Real
list.
Men is I on my it. List is a backup.
Right. Well, Real Men...
James Belushi and
Jim
John
Belushi
Ritter.
And John Ritter. Real Men, I think, actually falls under the same sort of idea that Support Your Local Sheriff does. I think it was kind of ahead of its time. In what it was doing, and whereas Support Your Local Sheriff was not a parody, it was something else. Mm-hmm. It was a very self-aware comedy of what it you know, the era that it was in. This is a very self-aware movie of spy movies. Mm-hmm. Not a spoof in any sense of the word. It's not like The Naked Gun or anything like that. It is just aware. And it does not take itself seriously, just like Support Your Local Sheriff does not take itself seriously. You don't experience any, even though it's a comedy, you know, you don't experience any fear that someone's going to really die or anything mm-hmm. like that. But it is a tremendously smart and funny yeah. and well-acted movie with
kind of a, yeah, it's kind of a road movie too, but it's a yeah, small movie.
It is.
You know, it's obviously they didn't have a big budget either.
No, and that's its charm.
Yeah.
You know, it is a road movie. It's a road movie. It's a comedy.
It's the charm of the, like you said, of them not taking it seriously and the chemistry between Belushi and Ritter.
Which is really what sells it. Mm-hmm. If it were two other actors, I probably would not care about this movie. But those two together were magic. Mm-hmm. Just magic. They played off each other. Jim Belushi and John Ritter at their prime. Their timing was impeccable. I don't even know where to start. I can't explain the whole movie. I mean, John Ritter looks like this agent that got killed, and he was an agent that was supposed to meet with aliens at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
When I say it, it sounds absolutely absurd, but it works. And Jim Belushi is the agent assigned to take him from point A to point B and get him up to speed by the time he gets there.
What do these spacemen want from us? I mean, what are we negotiating for?
I mean, is it a good deal? Is that what you want to know?
Yeah, I want to know.
What, are you trying to second-guess the negotiating team, Bob? Is that it?
I just want to know if it's worth the trouble I'm going through. I don't want to waste my time if all we're going to get out of it is a few pictures of space or something.
Okay, I'll tell you. Here, write this down.
You got something to write with?
I used to have a pretty good pen, Bob.
Yeah, I think I've got something. Okay, what is it?
All right, all the flowers, all the trees, all the little birdies. Oh, and all the children.
All right, so what is this all about?
Well, it seems like the guys in chemical warfare dumped this stuff in the ocean by mistake. Now, this stuff kills this special algae, and that kills this bacteria, and it goes right up the food chain. Well, make a long story short, Bob. All life on Earth is going to be dead in 5 years.
All life on Earth will be dead in 5 years?
Unless we do something about it.
Okay, what if we do something about it?
Well, then everything would be fine. We just don't know what to do. So that's where the UFOs come in, Bob. You see, they're going to give us this good package, which includes a formula that'll reverse the whole thing. Now, skip over to the other side and write this down.
What's this?
This is what they want. Just write it down. A glass of water.
That's it?
Yep.
They want anything with the water?
Like what?
A cracker or something?
No, Bob, just the water.
And the journey is between these two characters. It's not really about meeting the alien at the end, which is actually a very well-played scene, given the...
Considering,
it's more like Contact in that way. He's like, this is it. It's just a guy standing here, and all they want is a glass
of
water.
Well, the movie was about the journey.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was a great journey, and I thoroughly enjoy it. Great.
Yeah, if you just sit back chemistry. And buy into the premise,
yeah,
which you'll is thoroughly ludicrous. Enjoy this film. Yeah.
Absolutely, and John Ritter is great.
Great,
you know, he's almost a hidden gem in a way. I mean, everyone knows who he is, but I don't think people really appreciate him the way they should.
Good point.
Anyway, that's my number three. Go ahead with your number two.
Okay, my number two. I'm a little.
Just do it. Don't be shy.
A little embarrassed about it. This is another one of those movies that I found, kind of by accident, in the DVD bin or whatever.
Right.
It's called London.
I've heard of it. I have not seen it.
Now, this movie, I can't give it, like, a great rating, you know, because it's a little... I don't want to bash the film. It's a little pretentious, but it stars... what's his name? Is it Chris Klein? Not Chris Klein. No, that's the other guy. That's the American Pie guy. Fantastic Four. Flame On. Guy.
Yeah, Chris something. Go ahead, I'll figure it out.
And Jason Statham and Jessica Biel. What's his name? Has a part in there. Dane Cook. But London is... I wouldn't say it's a great film. I don't know why I like it.
I'm a little unclear as to why it's on your list, because you don't seem to have anything good to say.
No, I do. I like this movie a lot. And it was not very well received by people, and I really do think it's much better than people give credit for. It's about Chris's Fantastic Four so-and-so, I can't remember his last name, guy.
I'm trying to think of it.
Is down in the dumps because Jessica Biel broke up with him.
I'd be down in the dumps, too.
So would I. So he finds out that she's leaving for
London.
Parents or... No, her name is London.
Oh.
Finds out that she's leaving for Paris or Newfoundland or whatever, and he's like, what the hell? She didn't even tell me. And they've been broken up for like 6 months, and so he finds out she's going to this party, and he's going to crash the party. And on the way to the party, when he's picking up drugs, he meets Jason Statham. And, you know, they never met before, and they end up going to the party together, and the two of them end up bonding up in this bathroom. They're snorting coke the whole movie and drinking. Of course, no human being can snort as much coke as these people do. Right. They'd be in a fucking coma, you know? But the movie just, I think, is... It doesn't work as a whole, but if you break it down into moments, you know, right, especially the moments between Statham and
Chris something.
I think a lot of good dialogue exchanges I just like for some reason.
Do you want to know what pain is?
What?
I'll tell you what pain is, you fuck.
Why are you calling me a fuck?
Because, my friend, you fuck, you brought me here, and I didn't particularly want to go here, but now I am. So if you don't want to go where I'm about to go, then you better tell me right now, and I'll walk out the fucking door, I'll phone my therapist, and that will be it, okay? End of story.
No, fuck that. I want to hear this. You're not going anywhere.
You want to know what it is?
Yes, I want to know what it is. Let me go over this.
Motherfucker, you want to know what it is?
Yes.
Pain, my friend, is when the woman you love wants to fuck you 4 or 5 times a night, and you can't.
Why?
Why? Why? I'll tell you why. Because I'm an impotent man, motherfucker! That's pain! That's fucking pain! When your wife wants to fuck you 4 times a night, and you fucking can't! You know that some fucker before you could, and you know that some fucker after you will! Well, I couldn't cope with that, could I? That sense of ruination! That insolvency that burns in your soul! I couldn't fuck my wife! Do you know what that fucking means, mate? Do you understand what impotent rage really is?
I'm sorry.
You have no fucking idea, mate!
I'm sorry, Ed.
Oh, you're sorry? Oh, you're sorry, are you? You dare. You dare. You fucking dare ask me if there's a God? Well, man, I feel forsaken! I feel cheated, you cunt! I've lost in the big game! And nothing else fucking matters! It doesn't matter what you do. If you can't hack it in the sack, mate, if you can't hack it in the game of love and sex, you are shit, my friend. Because you can't do what the other man can do to your fucking wife, mate!
I know what you mean. It's...
No, motherfucker! You do not know what I mean! You could possibly know what the fuck I mean! I failed. I fucking failed, mate.
Like I said, in the bin, it was packaged with Closer. That movie Closer. You remember that movie?
I never saw it. Julia Roberts turns my stomach.
Yeah. You know, I remember liking it okay. It was like this movie, Closer, which I had heard of and I'd seen. I was like, yeah, it's an alright movie. Packaged with this other movie called London. I was like, I'd never heard of this before. Picked it up. Never watched Closer. I watched London like 5 times that week. And I was like, I know this movie's not great, but I just like it. I think it really slipped through the cracks, and I think it didn't get the credit people should have given it the credit it deserves, you know? Right. And I think all you should check it out. I really do.
I'll give it a shot sometime.
All right, that was what, my number two?
That was your number two. Okay, my number two is another one that you turned me on to. It was one that you had in your DVD collection.
I turned you on to a lot.
Yeah, you did. You're into a lot of these hidden things. Lars and the Real Girl.
I turned you on to that?
Yeah, I borrowed it from you.
You did?
I did.
Okay.
I don't even know where to start with this movie. If you read the back, the story about a guy who has a relationship with a doll, a life-size doll that you have to see to believe, because you believe that this is a real girl somehow standing still. It is a beautiful doll, you know, life-size and anatomically correct, the whole thing. That makes it sound like an almost stupid comedy. It's not remotely that. This is more of a drama than a comedy. There are certainly humorous moments, but they are not at the expense of the story or the characters or anything like that. This is really a touching story about a guy who is very hurt and very broken inside, and who orders this doll and genuinely believes her to be real. And introduces her to friends and family.
You know, Bianca's a missionary. Well, was a missionary, right, sorry. Because she was raised by nuns. But now she's on a sabbatical so she can experience the world. Isn't that neat? She's shy. Well, you are. Everything's so new. For her, right?
Are you hungry?
We're starving.
Gus, will you give me a hand in the...
How was that? I know.
And that is enough to make the story interesting,
yeah,
but what really just broke me in the best way watching this movie was how his friends, family, and town
treated her like she's real
because they like him and they know that he's a good guy who is hurting, and they go way out of their way to accommodate his belief in her being a real person, and to the point where they pick her up and take her places, take pictures with her.
Yeah.
And hoping that someday he will snap out of this. And I won't even spoil how this movie ends, but I'll tell you, when I started watching it, I kept waiting for the sick stuff to happen, like where he'd be making out with this doll or something like that. And they very wisely found a way around it. And he actually explains to people in the room and such to the audience that their relationship is such to where they're not interested in doing those physical things, that this is a spiritual relationship they have. And what a brilliant way to get away from that sort of sick stuff that kind of, I think, would have been the lazy way out, and have the town kind of look at him like a pig and all that. But it wasn't about that. It was not about him having a physical relationship with this doll. It was what this doll represented. And I think that was absolutely brilliant, and I don't think anybody knows what this movie is. I've talked to a few people, and they thought it
got a little bit more exposure than you think.
Maybe it did, but it's certainly not something I heard talk about.
I think he got nominated for that. I
mean, he certainly deserved it. He was fantastic.
He's a great actor.
What's his name?
I'm drawing a blank.
The Notebook guy.
Yeah.
Great
actor.
Yeah, he was. I was thoroughly impressed with what he did in this movie. Again, just go rent it. I don't want to spoil it for you. The ending, that is. Go see it. Great movie. Okay, do it. I took your number one.
You took my number one, so I'm going to have to... I've got a lot of backups, but my number one was my number one, and I don't think any other movies will, you know, be up to par with that. What do I want to do for my number one?
You want me to just hit my number one while you peruse that?
No, that's okay. I'll just pick one. I guess I'll do my number one, Rustler's Rhapsody.
I debated. Okay.
Like I said, my number one was really Free Enterprise, which is a real number one. Unlike you, who chose it as number five, you faggot.
Sorry.
Rustler's Rhapsody, real hidden gem.
Oh, yes.
Nobody knows this movie.
No one.
Absolutely no one. Rustler's Rhapsody.
And one other guy.
I'll have to explain this because you won't know it. If you do, I'll be very surprised. Rustler's Rhapsody stars Tom Berenger, G.W. Bailey,
Andy Griffith.
Who am I missing?
Cela Ward.
Yeah. Basically, it is a Western spoof like Blazing Saddles. But I think this movie is much better than Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, you know, it definitely falls into the category of being more like Blazing Saddles as opposed to Spaceballs, which is a parody.
Yeah,
it's definitely a spoof of, not a parody.
Yeah. Yeah. They're,
it's not referencing any one.
Rustler's Rhapsody came out somewhere in the mid-80s, and it's...
Late 80s.
Well, I think it's mid, but anyway, it's a send-up of all the Western cliches. Right. Tom Berenger plays Rex O'Herlihan, the singing cowboy, you know? He's always dressed up in these really nice clothes, and all the bad guys are dressed up in all browns and whatever, and he's got a horse called Wildfire, and he plays the guitar and he sings by his campfire, which is obviously a set, you know, right. And he can start a fire by, you know, throwing a match in there and just starts up, you know, and it's... The movie is
just... He hits everything he shoots at.
Hits everything perfectly. He shoots.
He only shoots hands.
Shoots men in the hand. He never kills anyone. Because
he's a good guy.
Yeah. Like I said, it's a play up of all the cliches, but it's done very, very well, very smartly. And the movie has a lot of heart, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It does. He rides into town. He meets G.W. Bailey. He's the town drunk. They end up bonding, and he becomes his sidekick, and he's like, I don't want to spoil the movie for you.
Yeah, see, this is the West. Out here in the West.
I know all about the West. I travel all over it, from town to town. That's what I do.
Yeah, but see, in this town...
This town's no different than any other Western town. They're all identical.
They are?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah, really. In every town, there's a bar like that one we just came from. Well, they might not all have continuous entertainment like that, but they're basically the same. The sheriff's totally stereotypical, and so's the saloon owner with that pencil-thin mustache.
Oh, no. Those guys are unique. I'm sorry, but I just don't believe you.
Okay. Do you have a very pretty but somehow asexual new school marm?
Yeah.
Is the blacksmith the big friendly guy who only gets mad when somebody burns down his barn?
Yeah.
Is the editor of the paper a young idealist who's hawked everything to buy his press?
Damn.
The real treat of this movie is that he is the audience. He is the audience in that he is perfectly aware of the cliches. That's what makes this movie different.
Berenger is.
Yes. Tom Berenger is aware. And no, they don't explain how, yeah. But he is aware of the cliches. He knows that in every town, the railroad's coming through.
The railroad's coming through.
That every town has a bad cattle baron that has cattle you don't see. The town drunk, and that the town drunk will become his partner, that there's a hooker with a heart of gold.
No, he's never met a town drunk. That was the one thing.
Oh, that was the original
thing. He can't have a sidekick, because his sidekick always dies.
Right.
Which is another cliche.
Right.
But it's very well paced, and great
very
payoff
smart.
In the end. Very smart. Doesn't get any credit at all. It was actually written by the same guy who wrote Police Academy.
I didn't know that.
There you go.
But you know, a lot of parodies, or spoofs for that matter, tend to peter out. They'll start well and start strong and funny, but then they completely lose it. It's like they had this idea of a spoof, and they do that for the first 10 minutes, and then everything else, they're like, oh, well, we don't really have a story.
Another great casting choice, though, with Berenger, the straight man.
Yeah.
Playing a comedic role, and he doesn't play it up for laughs. He plays it straight, which was a great casting choice.
He plays it earnestly.
Which was... I don't think I'm burning this. I don't think it'll be a number one, which was another choice in another comedy called Fatal Instinct, where they cast Armand Desante in the lead role.
As the comedic lead.
And he is brilliant in that role, you know?
Yeah, because if you didn't actually listen to what he's saying, you'd think you were watching a drama.
Exactly. But anyway, pretty much, I don't want to spoil the movie for you, but it's called Rustler's Rhapsody. Check it out.
Okay.
Number one for you.
My number one, again, this goes right along with my kind of real men selection where we know it, but I've never heard anyone else ever talk about it. So by that rationale, I'm going to assume that it's a hidden gem. Let It Ride.
Oh, well, I wish I would have thought of that.
I think it's one that just slipped through the cracks.
It did. That is a great film.
I think it is... Richard Dreyfuss is a lifelong gambler who particularly seems to have an affection for horse racing. And he's got his loser buddy who's with him throughout the movie. Yeah. But he is a lifelong gambler. What is it?
Looney.
He's a lifelong gambler who's just about to lose his marriage with his wife, who's just had it with
Terry Garr.
Terry Garr. And he goes to the track that day, and he wins a race. He makes a bet with God.
He makes a bet with God.
He's just like, please, man, I'm due.
Just let me win this one. Just let me win this one last one. And I'll be able to make everything up to Pam, and I'll be out of the hole, and then I'll just be on my way. Okay? I will. I swear. I'm due.
Yeah, so is Jesus.
There's no soap over here.
No shit.
Let it ride.
Let it ride.
He actually overhears a conversation where
there's a fixed
race, and he does bet on it.
Bet the horse heavy.
And he wins. He even tries to tell his friend Looney to bet on it because it's a sure thing.
Yeah.
And being the gambler, he can't just stop there, and he keeps winning.
Yeah.
And he actually kind of senses a pattern pretty quick that, and this isn't done like in a Jim Carrey yes man kind of play it over the top, winning everything. He only wins like, say, three or four races throughout the day.
Yeah, he doesn't bet on every race.
Yeah, no, it's not like that. But he knows that he's going to win, or at least has a strong suspicion that he's going to win, because he feels like he's getting these messages and that this is his day, and he's taking it for everything that it's worth. And it is, again, it's the casting of someone who you would not expect in a comedic role. And I don't want to give the impression that this is like a silly comedy. It's really not. It's definitely a blend of kind of comedy and drama, because he does have that genuine relationship with his wife that needs to be fixed and things like that. But it's a very smart, well-cast movie. All of these Hidden Gems are well-cast movies, and not a slow moment. Great characters, great dialogue.
I'm envious. I wish I would have thought of that. And I know I own the movie.
Yep.
And yeah, it is very hidden, because if I ever bring this movie up, nobody's ever heard of it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Great, great choice. Like, yeah, check that one out. Definitely.
Well, thank you.
Great, great, great Dreyfus role there.
Yeah, definitely.
So that was your one?
That's my number one.
Okay. Why don't you real quick knock off some honorable mentions if you
just
have
nothing fancy. Honorable mention is the movie Debs. I guess you could say that's more of a guilty pleasure, but I do think it's a good movie. Yeah. It's funny. It's a
hidden
farce.
Test within the SAT.
It's a farce. It's I'm not even going to explain it. It's called Debs. Go look for it. And also, the movie Equilibrium.
That's a great.
Is
choice.
I think of a very hidden gem. It came out, I want to say, before The Matrix.
It was after.
Or after. Okay, but it's definitely kind of.
I wish people wouldn't compare it to The Matrix. It has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, it's not.
It's nothing like it at all.
No, but it's a great movie. What the hell is that sound?
I don't know.
Anyway, Equilibrium. Great movie. Go check it out.
Oh, is that all your...
That's all my...
I have a lot. I'll just run them down real quick. Oscar, starring Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, God, yeah.
Great, great fucking movie that just fell off. Nobody's ever heard of it. I also had Real Men on there. Gattaca.
Oh, all right.
Spies Like Us.
Oh, yeah.
The Shape of Things.
Yeah, I thought about that.
Dark City. Copycat.
Oh, all right.
Copycat, I think, is really
Dark
good.
City, I don't know if you can call that a hidden gem, but Copycat's definitely
Well, not gem. Quite hidden. Definitely does not get the credit it deserves.
No, I agree with you on that one.
Beautiful fucking movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Copycat, definitely very hidden. Mm-hmm. It came out probably somewhere in the early to mid-90s. And
I think it just got lost in all those kind of procedural cop movies.
Yeah, great, great film. And I think my other one was Dick.
I never really cared for that one.
I think it's funny as hell, and I guess nobody else seemed to, because it didn't do very well at the box office. But yeah, those are all mine.
Okay.
That's our list for Hidden Gems. I'm Josh. I'll see you later.
I'm Justin. See you next time.